This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. I'm Caleb Brown. In North Carolina, it's a case of government handouts for an automaker running headlong into the property rights of local residents. In the inaugural issue of Cato's new magazine, Free Society, Paul Best outlines North Carolina's attempt to deliver some benefits to the VinFast Corporation, and in doing so, challenging property owners whose homes now hang in the balance. Who's Lena Stone?
Lena Stone is a longtime resident of Chatham County, North Carolina. It's in the central part of the state, about 30 miles south of the Research Triangle. She's lived there since the 1970s. She built a house there when she moved there in the 1970s. And it's the same place that she raised her kids and then her grandkids. She lived and worked there. She owns multiple properties. And she's kind of rented them out to friends and family, but she's really made her life there. She's now in her 70s, and in the summer of 2022, she learned that a Vietnamese electric vehicle company called VinFast was going to build a large $4 billion electric vehicle plant there. This is great. VinFast promised to bring 7,500 jobs. Lots of grand promises.
Huge development, sounds like.
It is a huge development, and the state is pitching in. The state decided that it's a good enough project that they would give them a $1.2 billion incentive package in various grants, subsidies, infrastructure promises to make it work. Obviously, for Lena and a lot of other people in Chatham County, this seemed like something good, bringing jobs to the area. But then in August of 2022, they actually learned from the Department of Transportation that Lena, along with 26 other people in Chatham County who are near this development site, would have to leave their homes, sell them to the state, and if they resisted, then eminent domain would be used to seize the homes, as well as five businesses and a 130-year-old church, Mary Oaks Baptist Church. All of these people would have to leave their properties to make way for this new development project. And this would be, you know, infrastructure improvement, a lot of new roads that can handle kind of heavy duty production would be moving in, which they were shocked by. They didn't know that that was part of the deal.
And so the government, on behalf of the company, has said, we're going to seize your property for, in modern parlance, public benefit, which is not to say public use. This is clearly not a public use as we traditionally understand it. This is a public benefit, meaning we expect that this company is going to be delivering a lot of revenue. And post the Supreme Court decision of Kelo v. City of New London, Connecticut, we understand that public benefit covers a lot more ground than public use.
It does. North Carolina is one of many states that have not sufficiently reformed their eminent domain laws since that Supreme Court case you mentioned. And yes, public benefit has a very broad meaning. This includes economic development projects that might bring jobs to the area, like this VinFast situation. Now, the problem with this is it's unclear how much public benefit is actually going to arrive in Chatham County.
Right. Speculative at this point.
It is very speculative. I hope VinFast succeeds. I'm sure they have a lot of extremely talented people, a lot of talented engineers and innovators, and maybe they will come through with a super innovative way to cheaply produce battery-powered vehicles that where they're able to be very competitive. But the company's a newcomer, and electric vehicles are a cutthroat industry. And VinFast has had trouble so far. They've struggled to gain traction. They only sold 34,000 cars last year, which fell short of their 50,000 vehicle goal. They lost $2.4 billion last year, a couple billion dollars the year before that. So they've struggled, as a lot of electric vehicle startups have in recent years. The problem with this, from the Chatham County residents that I've talked to, is this isn't a sure thing. This is a private company that should be making a bet on what they see as best, but they're being given $1.2 billion in incentives from the state to build a factory here. And a lot of Chatham County residents, especially the ones who are being forced to leave their homes that they've lived in, many of them for decades, are just kind of frustrated by the incentives at play.
So tell me about the Mary Oaks Baptist Church.
The Mary Oaks Baptist Church has been in Chatham County since 1888. It's a small church, but a very committed congregation. Many of the families have been there for generations, you know, their entire lifetimes. They also are being affected. They're, you know, the church, the chapel is right near the development site. And they also, in August 2022, were told that they were going to have to move. Now, VinFast has extended an olive branch. They get that this is not the best thing for the community. They've offered some acres to potentially relocate the church, but the congregation is waiting. They're trying to figure out what the state's going to offer to figure out the best course of action. Regardless, it's obviously an upsetting situation, though, because this is kind of a cornerstone of the community for the congregation that's there.
And if I may go back to the Kelo decision of many years ago, this would have been, I guess, 2005, maybe, when this case was decided. Justice O'Connor, in her dissent in the Kelo case, made specific claims about churches that, by virtue of the fact that churches don't generate revenue, they don't put money directly into the public coffers, that churches or other nonprofit organizations have sort of been deprivileged in a way, because when it comes time to do eminent domain for, again, public benefit, not public use, churches don't have anything to stand on when it comes to contributing revenues to the state.
Yeah, public benefit is, some would say, an absurdly broad concept. And if it only means that lawmakers' preferred economic development projects are what benefits the public, then that's a strange definition. It's a strange definition to, you know, Chatham County residents who are seeing their community kind of upended here. But it's, you know, it's something that a lot of other states have reined in. Unfortunately, North Carolina, that's still the rule of law at the time.
There are a couple of other issues here. One is a $7,500 tax credit for the purchase of certain electric vehicles that the Biden administration was very supportive of. And one of those requirements is that the final assembly occurs in the United States.
Yes, that's right. So whenever VinFast announced this deal back in the summer of 2022, it was before the Inflation Reduction Act was actually passed, which includes that $7,500 tax credit. And the exact details of that tax credit hadn't been ironed out yet. Whenever the IRA was passed, the $7,500 tax credit had a lot tighter and narrower requirements for who would qualify for that. And basically, VinFast vehicles wouldn't qualify until this factory was actually up and running a couple years from now, which is not what they projected, essentially. So they're pretty up in arms about that. I mean, weren't happy about it, to say the least. But yeah, you know, that kind of goes into, you know, a lot of these plans that private companies are making. You know, at the state level, they're looking for an incentive package from the state, various grants and subsidies and reimbursements. At the federal level, they're just trying to take advantage as much as possible for the other tax incentives for consumers, the $7,500 tax credit for purchasing a vehicle. And all of these things play together. Should lawmakers and policymakers really be the ones kind of deciding which private companies are making certain investments and where they're doing it? Because, you know, you get a ton of unintended consequences. There's a lot of perverse incentives there. And I think, you know, this case specifically kind of shows that.
Was there any attempt on the part of the governor of North Carolina to purchase properties? Or was it clearly just an eminent domain play?
They are trying to, you know, work with homeowners and everything to purchase properties up front. And there's a whole legal process there. You know, the state comes in, they make an offer. A homeowner can either accept it if they think it's a good deal and they're ready to go. They can take it to court and they can fight it. And that's a process that'll play out in the courts. It's a process that's playing out right now. One of the things that a lot of Chatham County residents talked about when they were initially told this in August of 2022, they left the first meeting where they learned of these plans under the impression that they would have to be out of their homes in the coming months by fall of 2022, which was obviously upsetting. But then months and months and then years started ticking by, and they hadn't really received any more updates or any communication. And they were kind of caught in this limbo where, what do you do? What if you want to expand something on your property, build a back porch, et cetera? You're caught in a limbo. What do you do? You know, your ability to kind of plan life, to plan where your family's going to be. All of that was kind of held hostage by this plan. And just, you know, the final permits were just approved in December. And it sounds like the Department of Transportation is finally kind of going through that process of making offers, and then things will play out in court. But yeah, it has not been a quick or easy process for any of them.
So Governor Roy Cooper and the company, VinFast, have tried to give assurances that this is still in the works. It's still working. Promises have been made. Things are moving ahead. Is that borne out by evidence on the ground?
Well, they've already delayed the project once. They originally projected that production would start in 2024. They delayed it to 2025. It remains to be seen whether they'll hit that schedule. I do want to say, though, you know, to understand why North Carolina struck this deal, you know, Roy Cooper mentioned at the groundbreaking ceremony several months ago that North Carolina for a long time has been trying to land a big automaker. They've made bids with everybody going back. You know, this really started in the early 90s, whenever a lot of automakers started coming into the Southeast and building plants and, you know, various production facilities. North Carolina started losing out on a lot of these deals. You know, the main one was Mercedes-Benz. It was down to Alabama and North Carolina at the last second. Mercedes went to Alabama because they offered a bigger incentive package. And so now, three decades later, North Carolina realized they have to kind of play this game. And here's the thing. I don't really blame North Carolina officials for coming up with this $1.2 billion incentive package and giving away so many tax dollars to a private, you know, investment. All of their neighbors are doing the same thing, and they feel like it's almost a part of their job to compete with that. But the problem is, whenever policymakers are focused on who can give away the most tax dollars, they're kind of discarding what they actually could be focused on to attract businesses, such as better infrastructure, better education, a more business-friendly environment, lower corporate tax rates, lower tax rates for individuals and employees down the road, you know, all of those things.
Yeah, there's no ribbon cutting involved in that sort of thing. The idea of creating this a very positive business climate is not the same thing as, you know, we have secured promises from this big outside entity to come to North Carolina.
That's true. What we really need is good markets, a business-friendly environment. But like you said, there's no glory in that for the public officials. They can't hold up the big win. They can't do it.
Having a great sewage system and really dependable electricity and water, that's fine. But nobody's going to pin a medal on you for having done that.
It's unfortunate that that's the current state of things. But yes, that's the reality.
And so with VinFast, it's known costs up front, right? A lot of money, presumably some of that money will be up front. Known costs to local people and a church who are going to be removed from their homes and, you know, paid something. But at the same time, of course, if they'd wanted to sell, they could have at any point. But there's a long series of these stories that just did not pan out. And you can go back to New London, Connecticut, where Pfizer was given huge subsidies and people were displaced, including Suzette Kilo. And ultimately, nothing was built on that land. And before we started recording, you mentioned Foxconn, a massive corporation that cut a deal with the state of Wisconsin, and ultimately a massive failure as well.
When you talk about these kind of economic development projects, there are, of course, a lot of successes, but then there's also a ton of failures. And, you know, this is another kind of perverse incentives example, but, you know, lawmakers are not held accountable when things go wrong. And it's really the people that live in these communities who are kind of left to pick up the pieces. Kay Hensley, another Chatham County resident, longtime Chatham County resident that I spoke to, she put it really well. She actually told me, quote, "I would imagine if they can't make it, they will just sell it off to something else. The damage to the community will already be done. It's a sad thing for the people that have called this area home for so long," which I think really kind of shows that if things do go wrong, then lawmakers can move on. They can leave office. A private company, they can invest somewhere else. But there's all these people who are kind of just left to pick up the pieces. And I do want to say, you know, I've asked North Carolina officials about this. What happens? Are there clawbacks to some of these grants and subsidies and the infrastructure spending? And they've framed it as, well, we're developing a big industrial site. So even if it doesn't work out with VinFast, it'll be ready for someone else to come in, which is true to a certain extent. But you're still completely remaking a town. You're upending homes, you're demolishing businesses, you're completely remaking the character of a place. You know, it's not like things are just going to be the same after.
Paul Best is an investigative journalist at the Cato Institute. His article appears in the inaugural issue of Cato's Free Society magazine. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast anywhere you like. And thank you for listening.